We have nothing to fear but fear itself. If that's the case, if you actually do fear fear that much, you might have phobophobia, a fear of developing crippling fears. There's all kinds of phobias out there, and that's what I feel like talking about here on the Council of Trent. Welcome. Mondays and Wednesdays, we talk apologetics and theology, but Friday, we talk about whatever I am in the mood to talk about. And today on Free For All Friday, I want to talk about phobias. I just wanted to share with you just a few of the strange ones. I mean, there's typical phobias, right, that many people have that are understandable. So claustrophobia, I mean, it's natural if you're in a, if anything, you're kind of an odd person if you're in a tight, enclosed space and you don't feel a bit of unease or dread about that. Now, sometimes it can just be really debilitating, right? There can be people who refuse to get inside elevators, for example, because it's just too confining of a space, but it's at least understandable. You could say, yeah, that is, that's disordered. It's abnormal. You're going to be fine. People go in elevators every day. There's nothing to be afraid of, but you can at least wrap your head around how someone would have an exaggerated fear of an enclosed place like an elevator. Oh, I remember my little guy, my little John Paul, when he was like two, the first time he got an elevator, he was not happy, not happy at all. We need to get down. I need to get down now. He just didn't want to go in there. And I get it. When you're a little kid, the world is an absolutely terrifying and gigantic place. And then just like 6 months later, we go back to the same hotel and he runs with us into the elevator and he's so excited to press the button. And so, I mean, that's just something everybody goes through in life. You start life with like a whole batch of phobias because the world is a crazy and unpredictable place. But if you are raised in an environment where you have love and support and predictability, gradually those fade away, unless there's something that leaves a bit of a psychological scar for you. And that's where a phobia can develop. So let me give you another example of one. I'm going to do my best to pronounce these, but these are apparently real. Anatidaphobia, N-A-A-N-A-T-I-D-A-E phobia. Anatidaphobia. It's the fear of a duck watching you. Do you ever, like, sometimes you're getting into your car or even you're getting out of bed, do you ever worry you're going to look over? There's going to be a duck there. And I was like, ah! But when I first read this one, it made me think of the scene from Billy Madison where he gets drunk and he keeps seeing the swan, but it's just an hallucination. Stop looking at me, swan! That's also something I always say when I tell Laura, like, oh, there's a really good interview on intellectual Catholicism. That's Swan Sana's channel. And she always says, stop looking at me, Swan. So someone needs to make a meme about that. Swan Sana, intellectual Catholicism. Go and check it out. Anatidaphobia, fear of a duck watching you. I think a lot of these with particular animals, a lot of that stems from having a bad experience with an animal. There is a related one called Alectrophobia, the fear of chickens or hens. And there was a 2016 case study of a woman who was terrified of chickens because when she was a girl, she went out to feed chickens once and they all attacked her. And now I get that because my wife and I will go and we'll visit people and it's kind of a new fad thing, right? You have chickens in your house. Like, we spent $800 on chickens and look at us, we got four eggs. Like, wow, that definitely saved you a lot of money. So I don't know, everyone's got the chickens, but I'm not afraid of chickens. They just gross me out. They gross me out. Like, here, do you want to hold him? I know that's more of a turkey I did there, but I always, Laura and I will joke around with each other, like, you know, with the turkey, like, trying to, I'll claw at her, like, it's just, they're gross. I don't care for them. I don't care for chickens, unless they're the rotisserie kind. Delicious little cane sauce, fried up, all of the good stuff. So the fear of the duck watching you, it could just be a bad experience with ducks. I mean, I remember being a kid, you want to go feed the ducks at the pond, give them some bread. If you're not careful, their little stabby beaks like clamp down on you. That could be a little bit scary. Going through a few of these other ones, there's some weird ones here for food. Banana phobia. Are you afraid of bananas? I'm going to tell you this. I'm not afraid of bananas. I don't care for bananas. My parents gave me bananas a lot as a snack when I was growing up. It was always bananas all the time, and it just really got stuck too much on my palate, and now I can't enjoy them. Banana splits, banana cream pie. There's just something about it. I can't have it because of an oversaturation. So it's not a fear. It's just not a big fan of it. Arachibutyrophobia, and that would be fear of peanut butter sticking to the roof of your mouth. This might be a fear that dogs have. You ever see like a dog, they eat peanut butter? No, no. I mean, that would actually be scary for a dog. Like it eats the peanut butter and it can't like open its mouth and it doesn't have arms like get in there to try to like get it out. That actually would be scary for a dog. But I guess some people, maybe you got stuck with the peanut butter in there and you have these visions of it just filling up your mouth and you're not able to breathe. I don't know what it might be, but that's one. Arachibutyrophobia, the fear of peanut butter sticking the roof of your mouth. Some of these I have. I'll share some of those with you. And some of them, I don't think that they're even that weird at all. So here's another one. Trypophobia. Trypophobia are the fear of holes in a tightly knit pattern. I sort of have this one. I mean, it's not a phobia, but I do get very at unease when I see patterns of holes like in sponges or cork. I don't like that. It feels off to me. Another one, when someone takes a selfie, like a picture with me, and the new iPhones have like 8 camera holes on them and it's staring back at me, my heart rate starts to go up a little bit. I don't like it. Now, some scientists have theorized that trypophobia is something related to the fact that lots of porous holes is often a sign of like death or decay. And so it's like a evolutionary instinct to avoid disease. And that's why some people may have it. And there's a genetic flub up that, you know, unearths that ancient memory or something like that. So that's trypophobia, fear of holes in a pattern. I have that mildly. But look, if you like look at some of the examples of it, you could see where people feel a little bit unease there. Pupophobia is fear of puppets and marionettes. So that would be pupa phobia. And I would say you're the weird one if you don't have this. Who isn't afraid of puppets, ventriloquist dummies, or marionettes? There's a thing called the uncanny valley for that reason. If you're not familiar with it, when you make a robot and the more it starts to look human, the more you like it. You know, so you got little Wally, and then if he starts to look more and more like a little human being, it's like, oh, that's cute, that's cute. So if it looks, so if it is, you know, a one that looks 50% human versus 10% human, oh, it gets cuter and cuter. And if it's a 10 out of 10 indistinguishable from a human, you think it's really good. That's awesome, a cool android. But if it only looks 95% human, it's terrifying. Because at that point, you only notice the things it's missing, not the cute things it has. And you notice what's wrong and missing, and it's creepy. And that's called the uncanny valley, that it goes, the like of a robot goes up and up and up as it gets more and more human-like. Once it gets to 90, 95%, it drops back down, gets terrifying, then shoots back up again, the uncanny valley. And a lot of puppets, dummies, and marionettes, there's an uncanny valley feel there. Also, Night of the Living Dummy, Goosebumps. Anyone remember that? Slappy the ventriloquist dummy. How wouldn't that scare you as a kid and follow you throughout your life? Or you go back further, Talkie Tina, in the old Twilight Zone episode. I'm Talkie Tina and I don't like you. That's a great episode. She, the killer doll, and it kills the dad, but it does it very slyly, just causing him to fall down the stairs. You can't tell if it's the doll or not. And those are back when Twilight Zone episode. You know, good old Twilight Zone episodes. So I think that's a justifiable phobia there, pupophobia. Another one is thalassophobia. And there's actually computer-generated videos on YouTube talking about why people would be afraid of this. Thalassophobia is fear of the ocean or deep water. So this is not hydrophobia. It's not just like fear of water. It's not just fear of water. It's not fear of drowning. So it's not like, you know, being in a swimming pool or something like that. It is the express fear, and I actually get this one. It is the fear of deep ocean water. And I get that, because if you're out in the ocean and you're out there and you look around, it's so big and unknown and mysterious underneath you. Like, what is there? It's definitely like Lovecraftian cosmic horror type stuff that peers right in there. So thalassophobia is the fear of ocean or deep ocean water, the fear of the unknown there. So I understand that. There is one I haven't been able to find. I don't know if there's a name for it. There should be a name for it. But this is the last one I want to leave you with, what makes me uncomfortable. I have a phobia of secondhand embarrassment. So I have a phobia where I don't know. It's not a phobia. It's not irrational, but it takes a lot for me to get over. I'm not afraid of me being embarrassed. I'm afraid of being in the presence of others who are experiencing embarrassment. Like, I just can't handle it for them. And I don't want to be in that situation. I want to get out of there. So I'm not afraid of being embarrassed. I do all kinds of embarrassing things. I have a fear of secondhand embarrassment, of watching someone else being embarrassed. Like, there's some episodes of The Office that I have a very difficult time watching because of how embarrassing it is for Michael Scott. Scott's tots would be an example of that. It's like, it's so cringy and embarrassing. It's like, I can't see that. It's the one where he promises these kids when they're like five, he'll pay for their college if they graduate. And he assumed he'd be a millionaire by that time, but he's not. And now they all are excited for him to pay the money and he can't do it. It's a great episode, but it's like, it's very cringe, very secondhand embarrassment there. Or if I go to plays, I have a hard time going to plays because I'm worried, what if the actors mess up their lines and embarrass themselves and I'm sitting here watching them being embarrassed and I can't see that? I don't know why. It's irrational. I don't get it, but that's just how I feel. I have a fear of secondhand embarrassment in that regard. So those were some of the interesting phobias that I wanted to share with you. And now you've gotten a look into some of the things that worry and concern me and the little oddball ticks along the way. But thank you guys so much for hanging out with me this Friday. And I look forward to sharing more episode with you next week. Thank you all, and hope you have a very blessed weekend.